Buffalo Bills Game Day on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
All right, here we go, here we go. We got to have a drive.
23 left, 23 left.
Will. 1, 2, 3.
It's time for the postgame show with Shope and the Bulldog.
Hi there, welcome back. It's week one in the books now. The Bills over Arizona at Highmark Stadium, 34-28. Mike Shope and the Bulldog with you. This is, have you ever counted how many years of postgame shows this is? It's 24 years for me, but there was one where I didn't do it.
Yeah.
So what would that, let me carry the one.
Yeah,
23.
Well, yeah, I'm the same. I haven't thought about it in a while. I did mornings for a couple of years when WGR first became an all sports station. But so it's going back to 95. I've done post game every year except for I think 2000 and 2001.
They've had some in recent years, you know, kind of easy times. The Rams opener in 2022 when the Rams were celebrating their Super Bowl win. In the drought years, there were some, you know, it ranged from okay and maybe even a little bit exciting to absolutely maddening. These are different times. This is a team that has very high expectations. They drew an opponent today that was kind of the opposite in how they are sort of a little bit hyped but haven't been very good. And Arizona gets out in this game 17-3. But the Bills, very much to their credit, come back and win it 34-28. How good do you feel?
I feel pretty good. I wouldn't be able to cop to feeling great. But you know, we talked about style points and, you know, would you takes, you know, in the weeks and months really leading up to this game, but especially this week, you know, what if it's 20-17, 27-20. Yeah, just give me a win, right? I think this team is going to have a lot of things to work on as they move forward. There's just so many new faces in important places. Think about the final play of the game, right? Who's on the scene to break up that pass? Jamarcus Ingram and Damar Hamlin.
Which,
that's kind of jarring.
Which, right? You know, to their credit as well, but man, Arizona let them off the hook a lot. I mean, you've got the Harrison play where he's wide open on the right sideline and, you know, handoffs to James Conner and passes into double coverage like that. Don't they know their quarterback can move? Isn't that easily, especially this year probably, and certainly today, like by far the Bills' best weapon is, whether it's designed or not, Josh Allen running. I mean, two more rushing touchdowns today. What's that, 20, including last season in the playoffs? I mean, just incredible. The Cardinals play like they don't know Murray can run, which is, you know, if you're playing against them, you're happy about that.
And I would say they did the Bills a bit of a favor throwing it to the littlest guy in the league on that last play, who was also double covered. Like, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. maybe on a contested catch type situation, game on the line, maybe that's, you know, that's the guy you want running that route and getting targeted with that ball. But whatever. Hey, Ingram and Hamlin made the play. I mean, Ingram especially was there on the scene and got an arm in there. So I'm not criticizing them being there. I'm just saying it's, you know, after 7 years of Hyde and Poyer being on the scene to break up plays like that to preserve wins, it's like, whoa, you know, who's here? It's a new team. And so I make that point on the heels of saying I think there's going to be a lot. This team is going to be evolving, I think, more than recent Bills teams have as the year goes on, simply because I think guys are going to be showing who they are and what they're capable of. And like we've talked about a lot, I'm not even sure the Bills in-house know exactly what they have and who they should be relying on, but they got there. You know, Coleman made a really nice catch on a contested ball late to get them set up for their last touchdown. So that's gratifying. But it's going to, I feel like, just a work in progress is what we're going to have, maybe on both sides of the ball.
And that, as you're saying, is to be expected. The important thing, of course, is to win. And they did. Greg Rousseau is somebody who has been here. It's a while ago now, but a couple of big plays in the third quarter to help the Bills turn things around. A couple of big, you know, one sack, and then maybe they both were, but the forced fumble on Murray as well. Like, I don't know. It doesn't have to be what we dwell on. I know it shouldn't be, but if we're Arizona right now, like, what happened to Marvin Harrison? Like, he came very close to just zeros today. One almost seemingly obligatory pass, the pass after he dropped one. And then, like, all right, we get the ball. We're down six, under 2 minutes. This is it. And they never even looked at him. I mean, I can say looked at him because he was open. And, you know, the Bills are very fortunate. I think strategically as well, kicking that field goal to go up six is a known bad idea under 2 minutes because the Cardinals are in four down mode. Then they have to be. And, you know, they didn't get there. So you got away with it. But, I mean, here we go. Like, this was going to be a year where I think probably at best you just have to pull out these close games. There are still fans, as we know from conversations we've had during the week, taking calls from fans who think like the Bills have some problem because they have not been more successful in close games. I'm sure there are a lot of people who think that. What's this?
That's one goes on the list of a win within 6 points or less, right? That's the final margin, 6 points. So I guess if you're concerned about that aspect of it, maybe you can feel good about them standing up at the end and, you know, getting a play and not allowing Arizona to steal the game away from them. I guess these two teams only know how to play games that come down to the final seconds. Last time they played, of course, Murray got them, and you know we were 35-40 yards away from that happening again.
Right. But that's another thing about the way the game ended. Like, the Bills would have given them plays over the middle, like three timeouts. Wow, it's an escape for me. Bills 34, Arizona 28. We'll have Sean McDermott's post-game press conference coming up. It'll be brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. We may hear from Josh Allen as well. The numbers are not, you know, huge or anything for Allen today, but, I mean, he didn't throw an incompletion until the second half. It was 2 for 2 with 2 minutes to go in the first half, incredibly. Yeah. But ultimately, Allen, you know, as usual, makes the plays that were needed, 232 and 2 through the air, and then 2 more on the ground. He starts the 2024 season basically as it's ever been. Just the touchdowns and the big plays from Josh Allen today. We will look for your calls at 716-803-0550. Sean McDermott and reaction from fans as we go through the day. Thanks for being with us. The Bills win the opener 34-28. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Hi, welcome back. Bills over the Cardinals, 34-28. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog to the stadium. Here's Josh Allen.
Post route at the goal line, elected to run, but after looking at that, I was like, you know what, I'm just going to trust the kid and let him do what he does, and made a great play there.
You guys, you're down 14 early, things weren't going well, but is this a kind of a testament to been there, done that before for you guys?
For sure, and I think you look at us offensively, you know, they did a good job of holding on to the football and running the ball well, and kind of controlling the game. You know, we felt like we barely touched the ball, but we felt like we were constantly in the green. We were ahead of the sticks. We've got the one fumble by me that can't happen. And then we got a few penalties that pushed us back there. So need to clean those things up, but, you know, we felt like we were rolling pretty well on offense.
9 different players had a reception in this one all preseason. You've talked about just whatever. Guys are going to make plays. It doesn't matter who it is. To see it actually come to fruition in a regular season game, how validating is that?
Oh, it's great. You know, everybody's going to find a way to get their touches. And, again, I don't know what the stats were and who caught how many and how many completions I had, but it felt like every time I looked up, it was somebody new finding a way to get open and catch the ball. And I thought Joe did a great job of calling the game. You know, obviously want to get some guys more touches to get them going, but it's hard to argue with the results that we've got right now.
Khalil found the end zone today. His ability to maintain his balance through contact seems just incredible. From your perspective, what allows him to maintain his balance in those situations where he's bumped around?
Yeah, it's his ability to drop and sink his hips. His balance control is pretty off the charts. He finds ways to kind of bounce off of guys. You know, and he did a great job on that one. He, you know, throughout the game, finding ways to get open, catching, you know, hard catches, making contested catches, and then, again, run after catch, being tough with the football in his hands, and it was good to see.
Josh, can you give your description of your airborne touchdown, just from your perspective?
Oh, yeah. Just kind of, again, split-second situations. The first rushing touchdown, I kind of lowered the shoulder, knowing that was a corner. The second time, I know it was Buddha, and Buddha's he's a good player, and he'll lay the boom on you, so I decided to go up and over, but, you know, probably can't make a living doing that, but here we are.
What did you see on the Hollins touchdown? Look at the Buddha pulled its
stick. Yeah, they went zero. We had an alert along with the play, so it was a good call by Joe and found a way to alert it. We've repped that play quite a bit of times, you know, and the job there is get inside and you know, give him a catchable ball, and Mac did a great job of doing that and scoring a touchdown.
Josh, what does starting with a win do for a team?
I mean, it just puts you in front of the chains. It really does. You know, losing and playing catch-up is no fun. So, again, 1-0 is what we're trying to do each week. And, you know, we got a short week going to a division rival in Miami, you know, and got to have a quick turnaround, watch the film on this one, and find a way to turn the page tomorrow and start getting ready for them.
Josh, 33 carries overall for the offense. I know that traditionally has not been the way of this offense. What does that do for you and as a quarterback when you guys are that efficient running the ball?
Yeah, I mean, again, staying in front of the chains, when we can run the ball like that, we're going to find success because it helps play action. It helps our O-line not just sit and pass set in a game. It allows us to do different things and have different personnel and force their hand, you know, whether they want to play base or nickel to some of our personnels. And, you know, we can still feel like we still feel like we can pass out of those personnels. You know, even having guys like Reggie Q and Alec, for that matter, being our jumbo tight end. But again, it just keeps defenses on their toes and allows us to be two-dimensional.
What is the message when it's 17-3? I know you guys probably are, you know, stay patient, we can turn this around. But is it as simple as that? Because, you know.
It's just don't blink. Been here before. Again, we knew that we were getting the ball at halftime. So we get the ball, finding a way to score points before and after the half, and you know, Coach McDermott preaches that all the time, and that's good situational football by our guys.
Josh, you've been in that position.
They're pretty disappointing. It really wasn't anything that we were doing. It should have been cleaned up, and we'll look forward to cleaning those up.
Josh, you've been in that position several times during your career. How important is it to score before halftime when you're getting the ball back after the half?
It's huge. It's huge. It's still in a possession. Keeps your defense fresh. And, you know, offensively, if you find something, you know, you score, you keep that momentum going, you get the ball, and you go score again. That's really huge and really affected the outcome of the game today.
Josh, what happened to your hand exactly, if you could tell us? And when the adrenaline wears off, is there any concern that this could be something that gives you trouble on a short week?
We'll find out. I'm not quite sure. I'm not a doctor. But just kind of landed on it. Thank you, guys.
Josh Allen and the Bills over the Cardinals 34-28. A quick look at the Skyworks stats of the game. Skyworks Equipment Rental, building America from the ground up. Allen, 18 for 23, 232, two touchdowns. The Bills ran 33 for 130. I'm not sure if that's efficient, but they were definitely into running the ball today. I'm not sure how that's much of a surprise either, given the matchup and everything that's changed with this team. What happened at the end of last season as well? Keon Coleman led the way, 4 for 51. Khalil Shakir, 3 for 42 and a touchdown catch. Also a touchdown catch for Mac Hollins. Dalton Kincaid, 1 for 11. We've been spending the entire summer trying to figure out the receiving pecking order for the Bills, and I don't know. Maybe there really isn't one. Kyler Murray for Arizona, 21 for 31, 162, and a passing touchdown, 5 for 57 on the ground. James Conner, 16 for 50 on the ground. Greg Dortch, 6 for 47. Marvin Harrison Jr. in his NFL debut, 1 for 4. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Sean McDermott coming up, and we'll look for your calls too. Getting Connected with the Fans, brought to you by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Buffalo Bills. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Has time, looking deep down the right sideline for Coleman, and he's got it! Caught at the 5-yard line! That's what the top pick's here for!
That's a 28-yard Josh Allen to Keon Coleman completion as we turn to the Eye on the QB feature here, brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. Allen talked a lot. It was a lot of talk on the pregame shows, on TV. Certainly, we've heard him talk about it. I've never had a guy with this skill set. Well, he knew how to use it. back shoulder there, down the sideline. Coleman made the adjustment, made the catch. They tried to double down there and get Coleman his first NFL touchdown on an end zone fade, but Allen put the ball a little bit too far toward the back of the end zone. I think it had been at the front corner of the end zone. Maybe Coleman would have been able to make that catch on the subsequent play. But nonetheless, good to see the rookie come through, catch the ball cleanly, and make a contribution here on the first day of the season, because we all know Xavier Worthy had two touchdowns on Thursday, and Stephon Diggs also had two touchdowns today, at least at last check for the Houston Texans.
Two.
Okay, thank you. So Coleman, you know, wasn't a splashy day, but still, that's a nice 28-yard gain there, and the Bills didn't do a lot of business down the field. That was really the lone example of it.
Gabe Davis, 3 for 62, but no touchdowns, Bulldog, if you want it. Mm. I mean, it's why Allen drafted him, right? Coleman, like he's never really had a skill set like that, I guess. Davis might like a word, but very, you know, good, if not amazing start for Coleman, because who knew just kind of what level of role he would have in this game. The Bills talked all offseason about spreading the ball around, and they absolutely did that. We will get to your calls next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Sean McDermott to come as well. But first, a check of traffic. Here's Neil McManus.
Well, a lot of people just soaking up the atmosphere right now. Things not too bad. Clogged up around the stadium, as you can imagine. Abbott, Southwestern, Big Tree seeing heavy volume right now. Miles Strip, you're slowing down at McKinley. Also, you're going to pump the brakes quite a bit as you approach South Park. Heading northbound, you may want to use South Park Route 5, looking great right now as well. We are seeing some increased volume, of course, on the 219, especially at that 219-90 interchange at Ridge Road. Otherwise, no problems to tell you about at this point, but we are going to see that volume increase quite a bit over the next half an hour to an hour, I would assume. In WBEN Traffic Command, I'm Neil McManus. Traffic being brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet, with you for the extra mile.
The Bills go into week two, or at least at this point we can say that, in a three-way tie atop the AFC East. Miami, which was down all day, I mean 10 points to Jacksonville, final seconds of the third quarter. Jacksonville going in for what probably would have been an insurance touchdown, but Travis Etienne fumbles as he reaches the goal line, ends up a touchback. Miami comes back and beats Jacksonville 20-17, an 80-yard pass to Tyreek Hill, who had a moment this morning in handcuffs after a traffic stop, but he plays and Miami pulls it out. And New England wins in Cincinnati, 16-10. Somehow. I don't know what happened with the Bengals. I know they always start bad, but I didn't see any of this game. Not pretty.
Either. No. No. I should have kept waiting all day for the Bengals to, like, you know, do something, you know? just never really got around to it.
No, they did not get around to doing anything, yeah. It turns out. So they lose at home to the Patriots, and that is rough. Let's take your calls. Apologies in advance. If Sean McDermott starts talking, the mandate is we stop. Let's go to Neil. Hi, Neil.
Gentlemen, thanks as always for taking my call. I greatly appreciate it. So I think this was a classic example of Arizona losing more than Buffalo winning. There were four or five replays where you could see wide open receivers that Kyler Murray simply missed. But I'm going to start with the positive. I love.
But you just started with something else, though.
What was that?
You're not starting with the positive if you're saying all that before you start getting to the positive.
Okay, I started with that. Now I'm starting with the positive.
Okay, now you're going to the positive.
To be more precise, I thought Joe Brady's game plan was outstanding. It was conservative. It was controlled. And I like the fact that you didn't see Josh Allen make any of those deep interception hero throws. I mean, he had that one to Scantling, which he should have had on that deep post. But I thought it was a great game plan. I thought it was a good use of spreading the ball around. I thought Coleman had a solid, if unspectacular, debut. I like what I saw from the offense. And again, when you run the football, it opens things up in the passing game. So I was very happy with what I saw offensively. But I'm going to tell you something. I am very worried about this team defensively. You should not be giving up 28 points to the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, Kyler Murray starts the game pretty much 11 for 12. the secondary is, I mean, there were so many times where receivers were wide open, and it looked like the D coordinator, the guys are just wide open waiting for the ball. I mean, there's a lot that has to be cleaned up, especially in the secondary. So we're going to be, the Dolphins are a big-time offense coming on a Thursday night. So, there's some issues to clean up defensively, but I think I was very pleased with the offense. I like the game plan. I hope they, continue trying to emphasize running the ball more to spread things around. And I think that I think we're going to have a lot of these, 30-23, 37-30 games. I just don't think the defense is good enough to stop big-time offenses.
Well, you're not going to have that many of those games if you want to run the ball all year. But, you did end up in one today. Arizona's kickoff return helped with that score, adding eight. But
yeah, I think the Bills were exploited defensively early in the game. And look, yes, Marvin Harrison is running buck naked wide open with a chance to win the game with Kyler Murray. And Kyler Murray, to my eyes, had time to find him and just didn't. And so you caught a break there. But the Bills were in tough early in this game, but they stabilized. I mean, you got a kick return touchdown there. That's it. I mean, that's Arizona's offense in the second half of this game. So, I mean, credit to them for making that play, but I thought the Bills adjusted well. And really, you're walking off point. You shouldn't be giving up this many points to the Arizona Cardinals. Depends on what you thought of the Arizona Cardinals coming into the game. I thought they'd move the ball on the Bills. I think their skill players are nice. I am not a Kyler Murray fan, but he can be very good and very dangerous. And can be a lot to contain. So I'm not surprised that Arizona had some success moving the ball on the Bills. That doesn't mean I'm all set on defense either, but I think you're being a little hard on the Cardinals. I know, this show has a reputation for doing nothing but piling on the Cardinals. Even the post-game show. But I expected them to move the ball. The Bills would need points on offense, and they found their way to 34 of them.
This game would really make me crazy if I were on the Arizona side just because of Harrison. Why did you think Arizona would be successful on offense? I don't know. But for me, it was largely because of Harrison, because the Bills have this brand new secondary and the Cardinals got the best receiver consensus in an amazing receiver year. And end of the day, Coleman mattered and Harrison didn't. McBride and Kincaid was an interesting matchup. And really, those guys didn't matter much either. McBride a little bit late. He caught a couple of, shorties. But, the thing about the Bills that I think I might even say doesn't get talked about enough. I mean, we always talk like that. It's sometimes annoying. Is the value of Allen's running for years. I mean, we know the numbers. We see the highlights. It's incredible, and 2024 continues in that same vein. But to be able to just cheat on third down and, fourth down shorts easy, how easy he makes everything by that is such a game changer. And I think Murray is very different body, but also dangerous running the ball. How their second half went without Murray running, like these handoffs to Connor, what was the point? And they just sort of died, doing that. Yep. And that would, I think the Bills are very fortunate that Arizona didn't figure out use Murray on the move more.
Right. And I wonder, too, to the call, the caller talking about the Bills' defense and being worried about it, and we're talking about Harrison Jr. here. Like, I can't tell, having watched the game, just the one time through live here, maybe the Bills did something coverage-wise to discourage Murray from going to Harrison, and that's why he was so kind of invisible here. So maybe you want to give the Bills some credit, if it's true. Again, I don't know. I know, obviously, he was wide open on that play late, but teams can try to discourage you from using your best guys, and maybe the Bills did some of that on Marvin Harrison Jr.
Waiting on Sean McDermott, here's Amari next. Hi, Amari.
Hi, guys. Thanks for my call.
Sure.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to talk a little, especially about our new look offense. I'm really liking our spread. Obviously, Josh Allen had completions to, I think, 9 or 10 different receivers. I really like our motions as well. It's obviously a new look for us. But I really like the involvement of James Cook as well. There was some downsides, of course. Our defense played a little weak, but I take this win with a grain of salt because we did win in the end. But I like the Cardinals coming in, but that first half just was brutal for us. And it doesn't seem like if we can give those plays up to other teams going down the stretch, I don't see how we can make a deep Super Bowl run.
Well, you know, for me, we do this every day. And for me, the team doesn't look as good on paper, but should be, in my opinion at least, I think this is also consensus, good enough to get into the tournament, make the playoffs. And then it's just, I say it like it's, you know, nothing, but win those games then. And you have no control over that today. You know, like a couple of these playoff losses have been excruciatingly close. So you get in and you figure out how to win those games then. And so today, literally and figuratively, is a win. Like, that's just what needed to happen today. They don't cover in this game. We're talking like, you know, there are these sort of issues that they have. And I think that's fair, but they get it. And, I mean, easily they could have lost, and now our hair's on fire because all these things we're talking about, then everybody's talking about, and, oh, my God, what's going to happen with all this? But yeah. To get the win, then you go to Miami, who they've really dominated for a few years here. Should be very interesting Thursday night. You know, we'll take it.
Yeah, and if, you know, fans are out there that worry about, you know, the winning close games and that sort of thing and dealing with adversity, I think you might want to like the fact that this team got punched in the face to the tune of 17-3 to start the game and wound up, you know, winning the game. I don't want to say comfortably. I mean, they had to survive a last-second drive here and win by six. Like you said, didn't even cover. But they took the game over in the second half, and they looked – kind of punch drunk to start the game, really, on both sides of the ball. I mean, it was just very, very lopsided looking game. And I think there's a lot of character to be spoken of that they sort of dug in a lot of new pieces. That means new voices, new leadership. And, you know, I don't know, like, it's easy for us to notice on TV guys that we're not that familiar with making plays. I wonder what it's like for the guys on the field, even. Like, are they used to having certain guys doing certain things? There's a lot of new moving parts there. And the Bills, to me, took a pretty good punch early and responded. And I think that's a very positive sign.
Let's go to Scott next. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Shope. I got to say, big fans of Shope and Bulldog. I got to say, Bulldog, one of my favorite pictures of you looking like Sasquatch at that.
Okay. Hard to see
that
coming.
Didn't you just know? Like 100% chance that was going to be nonsense.
Yep. And what do you do about it? You know, what can I do about it? Only so much. Andrew is next. Hi, Andrew.
Gentlemen, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. I don't know about you guys, but I missed having my heart rate spike to uncomfortable levels on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
So good to be back there. Hey, just wanted to ask you guys a quick question. I was listening on the radio for the game today. The field goal at the end of the game to go up six. Honestly, I hate that call. Like, I feel like I agree with what you guys said earlier. We kind of got away with it. And I hate the field goal. I haven't seen if it was a long fourth and three or short fourth and three, but it sounded like that third and two play was kind of a conservative play call. Like, I just want them to go for the throat there a little bit and put the game on ice. Now, I know it all works out in the end and we win the game. It's like no sweat off of it, but I don't know about you guys. I don't know if I'm prepared to watch like seven or eight close ones like this where we're relying on the defense. And that's not to say the D didn't back it up at the end, but I feel like we got away with it a little bit. And Shope, no pick from you today. I'm putting the mortgage on 17 at the roulette table.
Okay. I think, you know, likewise about the end. They call it the field goal of death because when you take a 3-point lead and make it a 6-point lead, you put yourself in more trouble than you know. Or maybe you know and still do it. But it's a 4-down game for Arizona. There's no settling for a field goal. That's just like what you're up against, and the Bills survived it. I don't know if it was mentioned on the radio broadcast. It was not mentioned on TV. With 3:52 left, the Bills had second and one on that last drive, and the Cardinals took a penalty for 12 men on the field, which I believe was intentional. Because what that did, we're under 4 minutes now, and second and one is the best down and distance in football. Like, the Bills, just it's a luxury. You're going to they have three plays to convert that if they need it. They're trying to run the clock out, or they should be. So what Arizona did, in my opinion,
was stop the clock on purpose and give the Bills 5 yards and a first down. The Bills did not then convert another first down. That ended up in the field goal. And it happened at the two-minute warning. So Arizona, I mean, they bought a lot of win probability by that. Whether they meant to do it or not, I'm pretty sure they meant to do it. Again, it was not pointed out on TV. I didn't see anybody else saying it.
No.
But 3:52 left, 12 men on the field on purpose, gives the first down away, which you're expecting to give up anyway on second and one against Allen, right? I mean, just, I mean, kneel it twice. What are Allen's chances on fourth and one? And you're killing all that clock. And they saved their timeouts. So Arizona, I think, was probably pretty smart there.
Yeah.
But they didn't end up benefiting.
Yeah, I'll still listen. I know the speech about the field goal of death. I would have liked to see the Bills actually call plays that could have even. Oh, I know. Dare I say a pass play to try to get the first down, to try to score a touchdown and ice the game, rather than have to sit through either a tying field goal drive or a go ahead touchdown drive. But if they had gone for it and missed there, I'll just tell you, we could still be watching a football game right now. Or overtime probably would have ended by now. But you just don't know. I mean, it didn't. They got away with it. I accept that phrasing. But sometimes you just don't know. I thought the bigger issue I had was second and third down before the field goal than actually the field goal decision itself, I would say.
Which were what? There was a – I don't have it in front of me.
It was both run plays, and the last one was an Allen run that it didn't even really look like it was a play.
Okay. That's not good.
No.
Still waiting for Sean McDermott. We'll keep taking your calls at 716-803-0550. Matt is next. Hello, Matt.
Yeah, boys. I got 3 points here for you today. Number one, Sean McDermott, absolute coward call, not going for the jugular on 4th and 3 when you have the second best, some might say the first best player, I would, in the entire league with the ball. Second point, it's an embarrassing, absolutely embarrassing state you're up 7-3 in the first half. If you weren't hammering Bill's money line, you were missing out on free money today from the boys. Josh Terrell Keon. Keon's a bust. He's an absolute legend. Third, you fat sack.
Okay. I knew when you number the points.
Also a giveaway.
We should
stop being public with things that tip us off because, you
that's
know,
right.
maybe these
that's
people
right.
will get smart someday. But I actually want that bat. They probably won't.
Kevin is next. Hello, Kevin.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great.
Yeah, me too. I just wanted to call to talk about, I think I'm not as pessimistic on the defense this game as I think other people are. If you kind of look at more the more advanced stats, I think Arizona was only like 4.5 yards per play. I think they got a little bit lucky kind of with like third down efficiency, which I think in the short term can be a lot more luck than actually it was. I mean, between kind of the kick return, which kept them in a little bit. And then, yeah, I think the overall kind of, even in the first half, they're only at like 5.3 yards per play. So I think the luck was actually more on Arizona's side. I think you were saying before that, like, the Bills got a little bit lucky. I mean, yeah, maybe game planning wise, Arizona could have game planned.
You know, it's always both, right? I mean, people, like, the last guy might have really meant it, talking about sort of the Bills being behind in this game and what's happening. They were a 6 or 6.5 point favorite, and they won by 6. Like, there was really one thing this game wasn't was surprising. In the overall, how it got there, total points, when things happened, you know, when they did, you can always say that. But this was projected to be about this kind of game. And sure, okay, I accept that. Like the Allen fumble, you're going to recover that about half the time. And that's a little bit unlucky, I guess, in that way, too, in the first half. But I think the Bills got away with Arizona making some pretty poor choices and kind of obvious ones in terms of play calling on their last couple drives. I mean, to have the weapon that Murray is, to have Harrison, and just be due respect handing inside to James Conner, what are you hoping for? You're just hoping to break one. I just don't like your odds. And so give the Bills credit for shutting that down, but it's just like with punting. If you're the Bills and they line up, Murray, McBride, Harrison, even Dortch or Wilson, what do you want them to do? You want them to run up between the tackles, which they were nice enough to do a few times. Kevin is next. Hello, Kevin.
So, Bulldog, what's going on, guys? Welcome to another season of Cardiac Buffalo Bills football. I can't take it, man. Just, ooh, these close games be getting to me. But anyway, I saw one good thing that really, really, really stood out to me. Josh Allen had nine people to throw the ball to, not maybe four or five guys or one guy crying because he ain't getting the ball. Again, like you said, Arizona bailed us out on a whole bunch of plays, not going to that Harrison connection. The guy only had one catch for 4 yards. The defense, I mean, we give up them points early, but then somehow we figure it out and we clamp it down. That's what we did today. That 3 points at the thing there, and that's making it tight. But then again, this is Buffalo. This is our football. We got to win. On to Miami. Shout out to the Vintage Raider.
Thanks, Kevin. John is next. Hi, John.
Hey, Soap and Bulldog. How's it going?
Great. Thank you. How's it going with you, John?
Good, good. So, in the first half, like everybody, I was kind of freaking out a little bit. And I just wanted to ask you guys, if you thought if it was more of personnel, like missing Taron Johnson, or if it was kind of play calling. I felt like they were finding a lot of soft holes in our defense, especially in the first half. So, you know, do you think we're just really missing Milano and Taron Johnson? Or, you know, do you think they were just finding a lot of holes in our defense and it came down to play calling?
I think it's perfectly reasonable to think those are big losses, especially Johnson. I mean, not especially. Milano is very important, but because it happened mid-game.
Right.
So you're already brand new, mostly new in your secondary, and now you lose a guy that used the one guy that's been on the field all these years in the back. So, you know, I think they're pretty shaky at linebacker, and I think a good team will exploit that, you know, in better ways than the Cardinals did. They had a weapon in McBride that really wasn't much of a factor. The Bills, I'd give them credit for, like you said before, figuring out ways to make it harder on Arizona in the second half, but I'm worried for them. I mean, I think the whole defense overall, especially linebacker, you know, maybe most of all at that position, I'm not sure. Like, Milano is so valuable in coverage. And we'll see about Miami. They're going to play a lot of teams that can make life hard on them.
I'm glad the caller mentioned the loss of Taron Johnson, because I do think that played a part in what happened in the first half. But with that said, I would want to give Cam Lewis a lot of credit. I thought he really played a great second half of football. I thought he was around the ball and really displayed a lot of the traits that Taron Johnson gets a lot of credit for. The toughness, being, you know, being a defensive back like he is, but sticking his nose in there on run plays and taking on blockers. I just thought Lewis looked really good as the game went on. Maybe he just, like the whole defense, was a little new and maybe a little shook when, you know, Arizona got off to the start they did. But I thought he adjusted very well as the game went on. So that's not saying, like, I won't miss Taron Johnson if he misses time, but I thought Lewis got better as the game went on and ended up being having what I would say was a very good day.
Ross Tucker made a nice point on CBS about Lewis. Ross is on our show every week during the season, and how he was successful. This is a couple of Connor plays at sort of hiding and then ducking under the pulling lineman to get to the running back. He did that well. I saw McDermott, by the way, on that last drive, covering his face with the whatever. He's not calling plays this year, right?
Bobby Babich is calling the plays.
Why would you cover your face if you weren't calling? What is he worried about being caught saying if he's not calling the plays?
I don't know.
Just always do it out of habit? Just always cover your face?
Don't know.
We are going to keep going until he is available for his press conference, which means probably next hour is all ads.
Sweet.
Here goes Chris next. Hi, Chris.
How are you?
What's up?
We're fine, Chris. Thank you.
Oh, what a game, huh? What a weather. What a great game. And I can't wait for Thursday. I don't know what to expect, really. I think we started out hot. Some players were hot.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. Joshua next. Hi, Joshua.
Hi, yes. I just wanted to say that I thought it was a great play to go for it. The field goal go up by 6 on the 4th and 3rd. And I just wanted to know what you guys thought about maybe running a little bit more. I know the front 7 for the Cardinals wasn't very good.
and I just wanted to know what your guys' thoughts were. I thought we needed two a little bit more, but it, mainly just that that's huge going up by six.
Yep. Look, here we are to game one after, what, 7 months of trying to predict what their offense is going to be about. This is what I thought their offense was going to be about. I'd like for Kincaid to be more important. Mm-hmm. Kincaid's job today was immediately gesturing toward officials after what he thought were late hits. That's the only time I saw Kincaid in this game, is like, the tackle's not even over yet. He's turning and raising his arms. Like, where's the flag? You know, that's a first-round pick. And I think for the Bills to win big, he's got to be more important than this. You know, ultimately, you can say whatever you want. Like, didn't need him in this game. But this is how the Bills played after Joe Brady took over. Lots of running. You know, no wide receiver one. Stephon Diggs was basically unimportant to him. As soon as Brady took over the offense last year, ends up Diggs leaves, and this is all a referendum on whether that, you know, was worth doing. So this is what I expected in terms of their style. Obviously, last year, the idea was for Allen not to have to run as much, and this game was not that game. Like, they definitely needed his legs in this game, and he ends up getting hurt on his second touchdown. He wouldn't say, it's a long time ago now, when we aired it.
That's going to bear some watching,
yep.
I think. Like, he did not say, I'm not worried about it at all. What he said was, I don't really know what the hell happened. You know, I mean, he fell on it. He knew what happened, but, like, what is wrong in there? I think that bears watching. I mean, he did manage to get through the game, but that's the kind of thing that could get worse overnight here. And with a short week, who knows? At least it's not his throwing hand, so we've got that. It's hard for me to imagine a scenario where the Bills would have run the ball more than they did in this game. So I don't know if the caller's suggesting he would like to see them run it more. I mean, it worked. They got 34 points out of it. Like, nothing real cheap there. I mean, they did get the one takeaway that led to points, but they didn't get any other scores. It was all, you know, the offense generating it. So, you know, the everybody eats. You know, put a notch in the win column for everybody eats, because it worked today.
33 rushes for 130 yards. I mean, that's not even four per carry, and that includes Allen. Let's go to Sean McDermott.
Man, just all glory to him for his blessings in more than just football. And what an environment, like it always is here in Western New York and Orchard Park. Fans were incredible, not surprised. And I'm sure that our new players, that this was an experience for them like they've never had before. Great to get a win, hard-fought battle. Give Arizona credit. They came in here and had a good plan, and, you know, we got down early in the game, and then we're fighting back from there. And I think that in and of itself is a great sign for our football team. Every week's like that, right? But to have that with a new team, and for them to stick together and pull it out and really come together. The staff did a great job of making some adjustments, communicating with each other, and then we had some guys go down as well. So, Taron went down early there. I think it was the first drive, in fact, and guys stepped in and stepped up. And, finally with Jamarcus Ingram making that play, I mean, it's a great example of being ready, right, when your number's called. So the effort that the team put in, the effort that he put in to get himself ready to go was what it needs to be. So with that, I'll turn it over to you with your questions. Yeah, I don't have enough information to say what it is yet, Sal, other than it is his forearm. That's all I know right now.
Cam said that he was preparing all week for that dime roll, had to shift. He goes and plays for Taron and Jamarcus. Can you just speak to the two of them, what they were able to accomplish, you know, with you guys down a couple scores?
Yeah, I mean, Cam we knew Cam was in a pivotal role, playing the dime, starting dime, but also being the primary backup at more than one position, and then he had to go in right away first. You don't always expect it to be the first drive for to get to your backup there, but he plays like a starter. And again, credit to him for being prepared. And then we're mixing and matching. I thought the coach did a good job. And there was a chance that Jamarcus was not even going to be up. We lost Smoot later in the week, and so we juggled some things around and moved some pieces around. And Again, I thought the coaches and players, in fact, did a great job of just, you know, remaining poised. I think it was Friday, I believe, when we were kind of going through it with Smoot's situation there. So a late week add with Jamarcus being up, and he did a phenomenal job.
Hey, Sean, until the fourth quarter there, when you came up with the two stops, third down defense was definitely a struggle today.
Yep.
I mean, he extends plays, I get that. But is there anything else that was concerning to you on that front?
On the third downs? Oh, yeah. I mean, we weren't very good at all. And some of it was they were getting into third and manageable situations. And that goes back to winning first and second down. So I thought Bobby and the defensive staff did a great job at halftime, you know, addressing it and then making some adjustments. And I think we came out better in the second half and played a little bit more our style defense and were a little bit more aggressive and just playing you know, just having some fun out there, and as opposed to waiting and reacting to what they were doing.
Josh went airborne for his touchdown run. Even his teammates have said we still don't like seeing that. Do you still get worried when he leaves his feet like that?
Always. I mean, I'm always trying to keep my eyes on him. You know, we're talking in my locker room after, and someone was saying, "Hey, did you know Josh had this guy open on this play?" And I'm like, I just keep my eyes on him most of the time, just to make sure he's doing all right, and then, you know, making sure that he's not hit late or whatever. So it's hard to see the guys open down the field for me even, and making sure he's doing okay. So yeah, he's a competitor, and you never want anything to happen. There's a balance there as always. Like we talk about that a lot. So
Sean, we've seen it before with Khalil Shakir, just the run after the catch and the ability to bounce off the guys. How tough is he?
Football player, man, right? Go have him run a 40. Like, get him out of his street clothes right now. Have him run a 40, right? Have him do a vertical jump, right? Football player, right? Football player.
What Greg Rousseau can you reflect?
Not that he's probably not a good vertical jumper. I don't. You know.
Can you reflect on Greg Rousseau's performance?
Yeah, big time day. I love that he carried over to the game what he had shown in training camp and then the last couple weeks in practice. That's big. Like, when you can take how you do things from practice and do it in the game, that's a mindset, right? And so that's also growth and maturation in and of itself.
How about DeMar? How did you feel he fared in his first start out there?
Yeah, I mean, we got a lot of first time guys out there playing today and laying their guts on the line for the team, and I thought DeMar handled himself well. I really did.
What did you see out of the receiving core as a group?
On our receiving core?
Yes.
I mean, I think Keon was the most targeted. A lot of guys involved. You know, I thought we did a better job in the second half of getting Dalton more involved there. But sometimes, you know, we're trying to get him involved and they take him away. So I thought Josh was doing a good job of moving the ball around and taking what the defense was giving him. That's huge, right? When you're doing that and willing to be patient against a split safety, primarily split safety defense. So we've got a lot of room for improvement, right? We were beating ourselves in an undisciplined fashion and manner at times, penalties, pre-snap penalties in particular, and just beating ourselves overall with some execution issues. So we can take a lot from this game.
Coach, have you had an opportunity to look at what happened on the kickoff return with the new rules? I know that's something that you've been working on.
Yeah.
But have you looked at a little bit of that play and what happened on that play?
On the return, the long return? Yeah, you know, it's hard to see still, you know, and they were going for two, and so we were more getting organized there. They obviously creased it there, and we'll look at it on tape. I'm walking back over here in a couple minutes when I'm done here, and going to take a look at it.
Sean, can you take us through the last sequence when you had the ball? What's going through your head? If you're debating going for that, and you know, trying to keep the offense on the field, what was going through?
Yeah, what all the analytics people saying out there, right? That's a tough one. That's a loaded situation. Would love to put the game away, but just going for it right there wouldn't necessarily put the game away, as they held three timeouts. And fourth and two, we were going for it on fourth and two or less. Fourth and three, and then it was a longer three. And so I debated over going for it or not, and just felt like, you know what, I want to give our defense a chance to defend a touchdown here, and as it turned out, it worked. I mean, if you look at it, where the last line of scrimmage was for them, it was in the 20-25-yard line. They're probably kicking a field goal there, and we're going to overtime more than likely, or, you know, we're trying to save those timeouts to have a counterattack. So there's a lot that goes into that one. I'm glad it worked out, and but thought hard about it right there.
What's the with a close competitive game like this right to the end, and then you got to turn things right around Thursday night, just from your perspective, and how are you going about it with your staff and so forth?
Yeah, so I'm about to meet the coordinators over there, like I said, when I'm done here, and I'm going to try and shower first. I'm sure they'd appreciate that, and then go back over there and set the vision for the week. And we've tried to work a little bit in the off season, knowing that this is going to be a challenge. But this will be a test overall for us, right? We've got some new players, new staff members, and we got to go on the road to a divisional opponent. So it'll be a big challenge for us.
Sean, I know you said you don't have injury specifics, but with Josh, he was getting his hand looked at there, and it is a short week. Generally speaking, is there some concern there on your part, or maybe what could you tell us, if anything, on that?
Yeah, Jay, always concerned, right? Anytime anybody's hurt, in this case, for sure, Josh. So I'll know more again, hopefully, in the next couple of hours, and maybe even when I walk back, through the hallway here. So always concerned, for sure.
You said this the other day, that you expect to learn things every week about this team, just because of the turnover. What'd you learn about your team today?
Well, you go through it, and the NFL is hard, right? It's hard to win. You almost got to take the logos off the helmets, because it really doesn't matter, right? Who you play, where you play, it's how you play, how we play. And I think this team was tested early here, right? Tested early from injuries, early in the game I'm talking about, and then in the fourth quarter, and that's where games are decided in this league, in our league. And it starts with leadership in the locker room with the players that we have, and they got to lead from the front, and that's true this week as well, right? On a short week, some guys banged up, and we'll be led by our leadership group.
How about Von Miller? He broke through with a sack today. Just what does that mean to your team? We know how much the players look up to him and his leadership, and to have the productivity go with that leadership, how much does that mean?
Yeah, that's important, right? Being able to produce like that, and it just compounds one's leadership influence, really. So not that he wasn't influential before, but I'm sure for him, too, it felt good. He was smiling after it and everything. So, it's been a long journey, and he's worked hard. And I don't care who you are, future Hall of Famer or what. That's a grind. And to be able to come back and do what he did today at a pivotal moment in particular was huge.
Sean, at the end of the game, when they had the ball third down, third and nine, they run the ball against a soft box there, right? I mean, how big of a stop was that? Can you kind of walk us through that play, that sequence right there?
Yeah, no, it was huge, and they were holding, I think, going into the drive, three timeouts, right? And then I think maybe they were down to two there, but they still had control of the clock. And so I'm assuming that's what they were, that's why they did what they did. And we did a great job. I don't even know who it was, one or two guys up front getting off of a block and making a big time play. We were outnumbered a little bit there too. And that was a huge play, setting up the fourth and long. If it's first down there, it's a new game. It's a different situation. But having them fourth and long, and then I thought Bobby did a great job being aggressive there. And again, Jamarcus Ingram, again, our guys, man, it's the first game. There's so many unknowns the first week of the season every year. And to be tested like that and to come through, it's a step. It's a small step, but it's a step. And I appreciate how gutsy they were in that situation.
When you have Josh Allen, the easy thing from the outside looking in is just to be aggressive at all times. But late in the first half, when you guys kind of ran the ball and let it go down to the two-minute warning, was it just about not getting the ball back to them? And you ended up scoring the touchdown, but what went into the thinking of the approach of that drive?
Well, I believe at that time, Matt, we had three, I think we held three timeouts, right? So we let it go down the 2 minute. every situation is a little bit different, but end of half, you know, you're making sure, number one, that you don't give them the ball. They had the win there, give them the ball and a chance to score before half. So we wanted to control the game at that point. And so we took it down. We have three timeouts. We're extremely comfortable. Our guys are, at least, because we practice it quite a bit. And we weren't, like, we were not even in two-minute mode at that point. So felt good. I thought the guys up in the booth did a great job of saying, now we're good, we'll take it down. And but you're also thinking about a counterattack there too, making sure that you're being smart with the clock and how you're managing the game there. All right, thank you guys.
Sean McDermott and the Bills 1-0. Before we continue, let's allow our affiliates here on the Bills Radio Network 10 seconds to identify themselves.
Sports Radio 550 WGR Buffalo and WKSE HD2 Niagara Falls Buffalo, 98.5 FM.
An Odyssey Sports Station.
More post-game talk next. Bills 1-0 at Miami Thursday night. The Dolphins also winners in week one. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, this is Buffalo Bills football.
Now steps up in the pocket, throws, now he's going to run, and the Beast has once again been released. Josh Allen with a 6-yard touchdown romp. His second rushing touchdown of the day. 4 total touchdowns from the Bills QB. Can you say MVP?
Someday, I don't know when, Josh Allen will probably have to stop hurdling over safeties and linebackers. I don't know if he's hurdled over a defensive lineman at this point yet, but that was Buda Baker that Allen hurdled over to get his second of two rushing touchdowns on the day, and that'll go as our play of the game today. Allen, same as it ever was, on the ground today.
4 scores, and they needed all of it in this game. Bills over the Cardinals, 34-28 in week one. 9-39 is the Allen rushing total. 18-23, 232, and 2 touchdowns through the air. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. We are pressed for time, but we are eager to hear from more fans on the heels of an exciting and fun Bills opening day win. Let's go to Sean next. Hi, Sean.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to talk really quick. A lot of people are going to be concerned about the defense, but it is week one. It's Bobby Babbage's first game. The line in Vegas was actually 6.5, and the Bills won by 6. So this shouldn't be, you know, super shocking to anyone. I thought that overall the defense was – I mean, the Cardinals led the league in rushing per attempt last year with 5.5, and I thought the Bills overall played really well against the run, which is one of their strengths. I'm happy that Vaughn showed a little bit more of a pulse than, you know, he did at all last year. I don't know if he actually got credit for that one sack where Kyler slipped, but he got credit for that. And then overall, I think that, you know, let's not ride the week one roller coaster and, you know, see where the season takes us.
Right. fair.
Is it okay if I quote the movie Parenthood and say roller coasters are fun? I like roller coasters. All right, I'm sorry. That just tripped a wire for me when he said that. Yeah, I think the defense, I don't know, people will be worried about it. Again, I'll repeat what I said earlier. I think they stabilized. I think they did a really good job in the second half. They found ways to, whether it was Von Miller or Rousseau. Rousseau had 3 sacks, by the way. I don't know that his name has barely come up here on this show. Like, that was a great showing by him. And Miller, that's very welcomed. And really, the way that he generated that play was, I would say, somewhat different for him. He's always been bend around the edge, get the lean. You'll see him cut inside sometimes off of that. But he just bull rushed that guy, and it worked. So Miller, I felt that was a very good sign, but Rousseau was a stud, and I thought the defense had a very tough start to the game, lost Taron Johnson early, but Cam Lewis, I think as the game went on, got stronger, and I think they played a good second half of football.
Murray trips over a lineman maybe on that play, and Miller covers him, which I think affords him that sack. I mentioned Rousseau. I don't think anybody else did, though, Bulldog.
You did.
I just want the credit.
I know. His name did come up once. Is it barely? One time. Yeah, thank you for sticking
I want the credit. I want to make sure it's known I said
you
it.
You should get it. Yeah.
Tim is next. Hello, Tim.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. It's funny you say that because, first of all, great come from behind win. regardless of who it is, it's a really, really great come from behind win. But three things I want to point out real quick. What you just said, Greg Russo, I thought it was a really good individual effort considering that the team struggled. And I think he demonstrated that game against the Steelers in the preseason was no fluke because he really was good against the run and he won his game within the game matches and he really was the person that kept getting at Murray. And I just think he played a really, really good game. That's encouraging. So even if Vaughn's numbers are not showing up, perhaps he's mentoring Russo because Russo looked really good. Shout out to Josh. You know, he carried the team, a lot of new faces, new receivers, and he willed us with his legs and his arm. But here's my concern, not to just try to be too overly analytical, but I'm really disappointed in what McDermott did with that really good field position in the end when the defense forced the punt. And we had, like, the ball at the 45-yard line. And he, to me, in my opinion, with the new kickoff rules, even though the defense kept him out of the end zone, as Bulldog pointed out, you know, they were still moving the ball pretty fluently. And I'm thinking, why would you – Bass is not automatic. Thank God he made the kick. He's not automatic. The new kickoff rule could work against us because they just took one back and got back in the game. Why are we not taking at least one shot at the end zone? When they gave us the one-on-one, why are we not at least taking one shot at the end zone so we go up, what, 38-28?
You know, Tim, I think I will try to answer this question for you. This is who they are. This is who McDermott is. He basically told you in the press conference he knows it's bad math to kick that field goal. He laughs about it. And it worked out. They won. I mean, you're going to win. You go up six with 1:58 left. You're still the favorite. Like, you know, it's not so risky. So Sal Capaccio asked him after the game, like, what about it? And he's like, oh, what would the analytics guys say? Like, he's sort of mocking it. This is not surprising to anybody who's followed the Bills or his career. You know, how many games, even games they've won, do we end up talking about, why didn't he just take a shot there? You know, it's not to say that it's always right to, but there's nothing surprising about it. When they got the ball there, he knew Arizona's timeouts. He's trying to end the game, you know, with Allen taking a knee after they bleed the timeouts and they pound for first downs and Allen running is part of that too. He ran on that last series. Just didn't happen. So, yeah, I agree with you. I'd like to see them be more aggressive in these spots. It's the only thing that holds McDermott back with anybody, isn't it? Look at the team's record in the last 5 years. Why would anybody complain about anything? It's only this. It's only that there's a feeling that they're not aggressive enough, even when the numbers support it, in the end of games. I mean, really? Is there anything else that bothers anybody about him? It's just that. So today, you had it again. Welcome back. New season. They won anyway. And that's happened a lot of times when we've still had that complaint.
So complain away.
Complain away.
Complain away.
Right. Yes, it's
right.
It's fun. Away.
I don't take a shot. I didn't need a shot, but I could have used a little more. Just something to get the first down to not have to settle for the field goal. Because I think they could have called a safer play, maybe even a rollout that if it's not right there for Josh, he can just keep it and stay in bounds and keep the clock running. If that's, you know, that should be a part of your thinking too, of course, right? So the caller's phrasing, take a shot. Like, you know, take a shot to me is when it's first and 10 at the opponent's 25-yard line after a turnover. I didn't need a shot there, but I really would have liked another first down, you know, and ultimately a touchdown. But I'm trying to run clock there too, so there's a balance. And I thought the second down and third down plays just were too much of a settling for the field goal.
But also in his defense, what is his passing game right now? You know, like, there's not a Diggs. There's not a guy, even Kincaid, one catch. Like, there's not a guy that you can know, I'm going to get the first down if I do this. That's probably fair to say in his defense. But this is nothing new when it comes to analyzing McDermott. Thank you, Tim. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, 34-28 Bills. This is Buffalo Bills football. The Bills are 1-0, undefeated, some would call it. Beating Arizona today 34-28. Fun game. Buffalo down by 14 points in the second quarter. Josh Allen at almost the two-minute warning. We still call it that in the NFL, right?
Yes.
had two passes, 2 for 2, late in the first half. I don't know. How did that happen, actually? Arizona had a couple of drives. There was the one Allen fumble. How did they get to, you know, what, 24 minutes into the game or more with Allen having thrown two passes?
Well,
more.
You said it. I mean, the Bills maybe only had the ball to that point for about 6 minutes, maybe. It was just Arizona's drives were long. Even the field goal drive was a long drive, and they just chewed clock in this game. So, but yeah, still two passes. I mean, you know, the turnover played into that. But yeah, it was stark. I mean, it felt really, really, you know, I don't know, scary, too strong. I definitely didn't feel good. I know that. Watching that first half and seeing how that offense looked, but they got on track.
Allen had some amount of a hand injury landing on his hand as he scored his second rushing touchdown, taped up heavily. You may have seen it. And after the game, he would not go into how it felt or what he thought it was going to amount to. Likewise, Sean McDermott, I mean, Taron Johnson hurt his arm at 1:15. And at the post-game press conference, he's like, he didn't know yet. But he did say, like, I might know as soon as I walk down the hall from here. Mm-hmm. You know, they play Thursday night, and McDermott is this way. What benefit does he see in, like, sharing with – it's kind of – I think he sort of – either he finds out and then just tells you he doesn't know, or he just waits to find out until the press conference is over. Then they can sort of keep that for a day or two. But Johnson would be a big loss, and, you know, they called him questionable to return when he hurt his forearm. I don't know what kind of injury that is. I mean, he's either got, you know, a break or not, and he did not go back into the game, so could be a problem there. Bills over the Cardinals, 34-28 at Miami Thursday night, right here. We'll have it, of course. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, on postgame. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Bills over the Cardinals, 34-28, Thursday night football. This week at Miami, coming up on our postgame show, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, back to the locker room as we hear from Von Miller and Greg Rousseau. Big game for Rousseau. It'll be brought to you by Reimer Home Services. For everything your home needs, trust Reimer. Love getting to week one. Fun Bills game, a win. Now the late games. Dallas looking good. Not looking good. Deshaun Watson, 17-3. Is the Cowboys lead late in the first half.
Have you had an eye on Denver-Seattle? Because Denver's got two safeties already, and they almost just got a third.
So Seattle had 3rd and 18 at its 2-yard line in the final 2 minutes of the half, having already given up two safeties. One was a holding penalty end zone. One was a tackle in the end zone, I think, Charbonnet.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But they got out of it. It looks like the game will go to halftime 10-9. We'll see. It's not over yet, but that's Denver's lead. Raiders 7-6 at the Chargers, third quarter, and Tampa leads Washington at halftime 16-7. Favorite thing from week one early games, not the Bills game? Got one?
Oh, no, the Anthony Richardson pass to Pierce.
Wow.
That was like 60 yards, a back foot, just massive play there. I would say that's the highlight that stands out the most to me. I don't run around and try to see lots of stuff while I'm focusing on the Bills game, so I didn't see a lot of, I even just said to Zach off the air, I can't wait to get done here and sort of catch up on how Miami got back and how Chicago came back and all that, because I'm kind of in the dark on a lot of stuff. But that Richardson to Pierce pass was something else.
Chicago might have had two defense special teams touchdowns. It was a pick six and a block punt, yes, in their comeback against Tennessee when they were down 17-0. Bills over the Cardinals today out at the stadium. Good game, 34-28. To the locker room next, as we said, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
The Buffalo Bills defeat the Arizona Cardinals by a score of 34-28 in a nail-biter to open up their season. Josh Allen led the day, going 18-for-23 for 232 yards with two passing touchdowns and two rushing touchdowns. On the ground, James Cook led with 19 carries for 71 yards. And in the air, rookie receiver Keon Coleman led the pack with four receptions for 51 yards. Up next, the Bills have a short week heading to Miami at Hard Rock Stadium to take on the Miami Dolphins this Thursday night with an 8:20 p.m. kickoff. With all of the action right here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Taking a look at scores from around the league, the Texans defeated the Colts 29-27. The Bears defeated the Titans in a comeback 24-17. And the Dolphins defeated the Jaguars by a score of 20-17. And currently, the Raiders are leading the Chargers 7-6 at halftime. The Broncos are leading the Seahawks 10-9 with under 2 minutes left in the second quarter. And the Cowboys are leading the Browns 14-13 in the second quarter. Scores from around the league are delivered by the UPS store. Be unstoppable. I'm Joe Calley for the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. And for a check of traffic, let's head to Traffic Command with Neil McManus.
Still quite slow all around the stadium. Big Tree, Southwestern, Abbott, California, all packed up at this time. 277 North, also extremely slow, northbound up to Webster's Corner there. The 219, as you can imagine, very slow go right now all the way to the 90 East. The 219, that is, from Mile Strip up to that 290 East Exchange. The 90 slow as well, past William Walden to the 190. The 190 still looking pretty good, though. South Park, not too bad. You get a bit of a slowdown at McKinley. Transit Road, very slow, especially near that 400 interchange. And taking a look at your border crossings right now, if you're heading north of the border to Canada, a 22-minute wait is for you at the Peace Bridge. Also a 17-minute wait at the Rainbow Bridge. No delays so far at Lewiston-Queenston. In WBEN Traffic Command, I'm Neil McManus. Traffic being brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet, with you for the extra mile.
Welcome back. The Bills over the Cardinals, barely, 34-28. In the opener today at Highmark Stadium, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here earlier today down at the stadium. Von Miller and Greg Rousseau, both impactful, especially Rousseau, on the pass rush today, spoke with the media.
Hey, did you guys, or one of you guys, maybe, after the start in the first half, what really changed things in the second half, especially for you guys on defense?
You want a mic?
Can you grab the microphone, guys?
Thank you. Yeah, we felt... I think we just had to get adjusted. You know, we always felt confident in our pass rush. First game of the season, you know, there's a lot of things that you got to adjust to. You know, a lot of things that you don't see, but we adjusted well. We knew we would be able to get pass. We knew we would be able to, you know, get the pass rush started. All we had to do was tighten up in the run, and you know, we made some adjustments. They ran the ball. They ran the ball pretty well first half. You know, we just had to make some adjustments to get our stuff going.
Greg, big performance from you. What allowed you to explode out of the gate like you did today?
Man, just being out there with 10 other dogs every single play and having that 4-1 mindset on rushing up front, knowing if I don't get it, somebody else is getting it, you know what I'm saying? We all just got that same just dog mindset. And just when we had our chances, when the game was kind of declared in the one-dimensional, we took advantage of it.
Seems like you made, like, all your plays were game-changing plays, the strip sack, the sack on third down. What's it feel to impact the game the way you did today?
Man, it's a blessing, and I'm just happy to be out there with the guys that I'm out there with, because that's what it's all about, you know what I'm saying? One day might be me, the next second it's somebody else making a play, so we're just feeding off each other's energy. It's just a blessing to be out there, just grateful for the opportunity.
Well, you've talked a lot about wanting to, you know, get back in the sack column. How did that feel after, you know, so much work that you've done?
You know, it felt good. I mean, you think about it for so long. Like, you think about it all last year, then when you get hurt, like, you know what? Can't wait to get a sack. And then when you get the sack, it's just business as usual. It's like, it's just you act like you've been there before. But it, you know, I'm not gonna lie, it definitely felt good. You know, after, you know, the type of season that, you know, I went through, and the type of season that we all went through last year, to come in here and get multiple sacks and really just do what we do and go out there and showcase everything that we've been working on throughout the offseason, it definitely feels good, 100%.
On the play where you strip, you know, Kyler Murray, and then Dorian Williams comes up with the fumble, just what did you see on that play, and you know, how did that change the momentum of the game?
Just getting off the ball, you know what I'm saying, using my speed. I kind of saw that, like a little tail before the snap or whatever, and then just got off the ball, used my hand, and fell underneath.
Hey, Bob, when you see Josh leaping in for a touchdown, making plays on the run, how much you've been here for a couple of years now, does it still give that kind of energy boost that you guys?
Yeah, man, I like, you know, that's Josh Allen, you know. It's amazing. You see the crowd, they go crazy too. You know, we got Josh Allen, man. We always going to have a chance in games. It didn't matter, you know, how much we were down. It didn't matter what it looked like, you know. You know, we just got so much trust in Josh Allen and that offense. But every time he makes plays like that, it definitely gets us going for sure.
I know it's just one game, but how important is it to start with a win? You know, last year you guys were on the other end of it, but how important is it to kind of get off on the right foot?
It's important. And, you know, we celebrate this one, and, you know, we'll debrief, and then we'll, you know, get ready for a good Miami team on Thursday. It's a really short week, so we don't have a lot of time to celebrate. We can't celebrate all the way to Wednesday. But we'll celebrate this one tonight, though, for sure. And then, you know, we'll get in the film room and scout Miami and get ready for those guys.
Since you arrived, we've asked you about Greg over and over and over again. You kept talking about how he's growing and he's getting there. Yep. Is this one of those games where you look at and go, he's there?
This is definitely one of those games. You know, we sit just like this in the meeting room, and we're always talking about little things and how to improve and how to get better. And we speak the same languages. It's not a mentor, little brother type thing. We speak the same language up there. We're seeing the same things. So when he wins, I win, and it's just a great feeling to see him grow and see him develop into one of the premier pass rushers in this league. It's only about five of them, and he's definitely one of them for sure, too, bro.
How about Cam Lewis today? Taron goes out with the injury. Cam steps in, second on the team in tackles. What can you say for his performance today?
Man, we're neither surprised nor satisfied. Mm-hmm. You know, he does those type of things in practice. He did those type of things last year. He's been great for us. Since I've been on the team, he's made a lot of plays. He really embodies the mindset and the personality of this defense. So when he came in there, we already knew it was going to happen. We knew we were going to have a fall off. You know, Taron Johnson getting hurt, that's a huge one. Best nickel in the league, but hopefully we'll get him back fast. Cam Lewis is more than ready to go, though, for sure.
Well, you've been kind of stagnated in the top 17, 18 sack leaders because of the injury. How important is it for you to get back on track this year? You're not too far off of Lawrence Taylor. Some of the greatest sacks of all time.
Yeah, all I can do is just take it one play, one game at a time. You know, I love to go out there and get five sacks, six sacks, and just leap all type of guys, but I'm here for the long game. And, you know, I don't pay attention to what people said about my age or injury or none of that. I know the guys in the room know what type of player I am, what I can do on that football field. And I just take it one play at a time. And what's for me is for me, and if it's not, it's not. I know that nothing in this life is by coincidence, and I'm just going to go out there and just do what I do one play at a time.
Seems like you guys made some adjustments at halftime that led to some more success on defense. What did Bobby say to you at halftime or anything he did to kind of switch things up in the second half?
Dang, you got the feds in here. Got the feds in here. Well, I've said it before, Bobby's a great coach. He's a great teacher. He's great with schemes, of course. Well, when it comes to the mindset, he's just a master at that. And, you know, it was nothing. They did a great job running the ball, but we were able to just make some adjustments on defense, put us in a different front, you know, get solid on the edge. They were pulling the guard, tackle. They had some CGs as well. And we're just able to adjust to that and just limit those six-yard runs to two, and that's all we really needed.
Thanks for listening, and we will be back on Thursday night. Now the season has started, and it's a quick turnaround, week two. Thursday night football, Bills at Dolphins. Enjoy the rest of your night. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. This is Buffalo Bills football.